Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com.
David Ubben does a great job covering the SEC for The Athletic. You can check out his podcast, part of the Andy Staples Show podcast feed. It's Football and Grits. It's the SEC podcast available on The Athletic, on all, of course, your favorite podcast feeds and platforms. I make the Saturday takeaway, I guess the Sunday show, part of my regular listening on the weekends. Please now to welcome David to the program. You can always follow him on Twitter, at David Ubben. All right, David, let's start here. I'm curious to know your opinion, because I heard y'all kind of discussing this on Sunday, so I'm curious from this. Do you think the gap between Alabama and the number two team in the West is bigger than the gap between whoever we decide is the number two team in the West and the seventh team in the West?
I would say probably, but maybe not, depending on what Texas A&M is.
Sure.
I think it's that. I think Texas A&M has the answer to that question. We haven't really seen them flex yet this season. So I would say you're probably not far off, but until A&M shows us what they are they the team that can barely get by Colorado, or are they the team that, you know, can go 11-1 this year? We'll see. But I'd say you're probably not far off, because even last year when they were a 9-1 team, you know, they still lost by four touchdowns to Alabama. So you may have something there.
It sounds like you're waiting and seeing with Texas A&M. I think a lot of people came away from that Colorado game worried about Texas A&M. What do you make of their situation with the injury at quarterback and the balanced with the expectations they had coming into the year?
Yeah, I mean, the hanging situation is bad, but they're so good everywhere else, I think they can survive it. But with a guy that didn't have a lot of experience, you know, if you're getting him back and you're throwing him into the fire the first game, that's a problem. So there's definitely a lot of reason for concern with A&M, but they've got so much talent that, you know, they can sort of cruise and be okay. You know, and maybe Zach Calzada, maybe he looks a lot different than he did early on against Colorado when he was really struggling. But we'll see. I think it's, I have a hard time believing that their team, you know, if they play like that against Alabama, obviously it's going to be another four touchdown debacle, maybe even worse. In a lot of ways, their season is going to be kind of defined by that. But, you know, they can still do some big things if they can beat everybody but Alabama.
I guess this would be my question. If we say the non-Alabama and Georgia division, is A&M's defense the best collective unit in the league?
Yeah, I would say probably. You're probably right there. We'll see about Ole Miss's offense. We'll see what they can have to offer. But I would say probably that's about right, considering what we've seen so far outside of Alabama and Georgia.
What do you make of a team like Ole Miss? Because to me, they have this weird element of, I think they could be the chaos team. I can envision a world where they do finish second in the West, but I can also envision a world where if they get two or three of the wrong guys hurt because of depth, they fall down the pecking order pretty quickly. What do you make of a team thus far? Because to me, like, the one thing that they have done consistently is when you watch them, they do pass the eye test.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is sort of, you know, the big question is, you know, there are so many good teams in the West, and there are going to be a lot of losable games. You know, they can really only climb if they're beating Alabama in terms of doing something that people really are impressed by. But there's not anybody that you can walk over, especially in the West, and every single game. If they play like that against teams in the SEC West, I mean, they probably lose to five of them, maybe four of them. You know, Colorado is probably not a great team. You know, there were some extenuating circumstances in that ball game when you lose your starting quarterback early on. But, you know, that might happen. This is college football. We see that all the time. So, you know, it's going to be a week-to-week test for Texas A&M, and they're going to be a team that has a really, really high ceiling, but, you know, 9-3 is on the board as well.
You led your column, story, whatever you want to, your recap of the weekend over at The Athletic on Arkansas. And that win over Texas was, you know, obviously the biggest win to date of the Sam Pittman era. And you wrote a little bit about Pittman and I guess when you spoke to him during the off season. I'm curious, from what you've seen, from what you've gathered, why do you think he has exceeded our expectations, other than the fact that the expectations were set relatively low when he got the job?
You know, I think part of it is, you know, so many coaches, when they come in, they sort of, you know, say a lot of things like, well, you know, we'll have to see. We got to figure out our system. We got to do whatever we want to do and try to establish, you know, sort of some baseline or recruit the guys that we want and try to fit a lot of square pegs into round holes. And he hasn't really done that. You know, he's sort of adapted to what he's had and talked about how, you know, they want to win now. They want to try and do that now and not try to build towards something that they don't have and say, hey, we're shooting to be something special in year four or year five. That's just not the attitude that he took. And you don't hear a lot of coaches explicitly say it, but you do see the approach and you see people asking guys to do things that they cannot do. And I think when you look at Arkansas over the last 2 years, you'd be hard-pressed to find that. They're not the most talented team in the SEC, but obviously they have a lot more talent than people realize under Chad Morris. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to look at what they've done over the last 2 years and see players being asked to do things that they cannot do. And I think if you looked at a lot of the Chad Morris era, I think you'd see that pretty frequently. And that's, I think, a big difference in that, you know, part of it is expectation. When you inherit a team that's lost, you know, what was it, when he took it over 19 consecutive SEC games, you got pretty moderate expectations. And, you know, they didn't do anything special last year, but when you're winning games and you're competitive, it feels like you're beating the world down. And then when you come through in year two and have a breakthrough win like that, it's huge. And is Arkansas going to wake up and suddenly be a 9 or 10 win team? Probably not. And when you beat a team like Texas, that does raise the expectations. But I think it does come down to, you know, the plan that they have and what they're doing is built around they want to win now. They don't want to have to, you know, wait and recruit around things and any of that stuff. They want to win now. And that's their plan, and that's how they've sort of run their program since they took over.
David, do you think guys like Sam Pittman, and I think there's a chance that we could see a guy like Mel Tucker right now, if what I've been watching from Michigan State is true, like I think they could wind up being pretty good. And this concept that you're talking about, I find it fascinating. So often you hear coaches, well, we got to get our DNA, and they're essentially preaching patience, which is essentially saying, don't judge me until like year four. Till, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you think guys like this are going to be essentially what everything gets characterized against, where it's like, you know, well, Sam Pittman did it at Arkansas and they lost 19 straight games and look how quick he turned it around? I think I guess what I would really distill the question down to is, do you think their performances are going to ramp up impatience despite the fact that most coaches want to preach patience?
Yes, I do. And I think it's just interesting. You know, I think for a lot of fan bases, especially when you talk about making coaching hires, everybody wants the resume. You know, what has this guy won? What has he done? All these things. And that's understandable when you're trying to sell a hire. But sometimes people just make sense. And sometimes there's really good coaches who, you know, Sam Pittman came in there. He's coached a lot of football. But they gave him the job, and he hired you know, two coordinators that have done some really good things. Barry Odom's had some really good defenses. Kendall Bryan's had some really good offenses. And, you know, he's tried to build a team and assemble a staff that can win them some ball games, and they've been able to do that. And I think, you know, it probably does hurt in a lot of other places, and it does make people more impatient. But, you know, like I said, I think people always want the resume. What have you done? And we want to get this guru. We want to get that guru. And I think the art of being able to run your program has been lost a little bit.
Sure.
People want the X's and O's guy, and I think that the organizational, the big picture, the CEO aspect of the job, I think Sam Pittman is uniquely good at that and pretty qualified, despite the fact that, you know, he hasn't done a lot of coordinating in his career. And so sometimes, you know, there's a lot of coaches that can be really good coaches that might be a tough sell for a program but are a really good fit, and props to Hunter Yurecek for seeing some of that in Sam Pittman.
It's interesting you bring that up, given what happened yesterday over at USC, where Clay Helton was fired after two games, probably made the decision they should have made a couple years ago. But I'm curious, does that apply to a place like USC? Should USC, you know, ultimately, I'm guessing they probably have to go after the resume at first, but do they end up maybe better off if they swing and miss and end up with their own version of Sam Pittman?
Well, I mean, hiring coaches is difficult because I think a lot of it is about fit, obviously. I mean, USC is sort of a unique challenge because so many people are going to want that job, and their pool of candidates is going to be so, so deep. And that's sort of a different challenge of its own. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, recruiting to Vanderbilt has challenges, but recruiting to Texas has challenges too in trying to figure out, okay, what do we want? And the idea of selecting versus trying to convince people to come, they're different types of challenges. And so hiring a coach at USC is different than hiring a coach at Northwestern, but they are uniquely challenging, and expectations are part of that, and their lack of patience is going to be part of that. And, you know, I don't say that you'd be wrong there. I do think that you need in LA somebody that can cut through some of the noise and that has some magnetism around them. And, you know, Clay Helton's a pretty nice guy, but I think you'd get really far down the list of descriptors before you got to magnetic when people start describing him. And that's, you know, in L.A., where the entire, ecosystem in the area around them doesn't revolve around them, you kind of have to have that. You know, you look at places in the SEC, it doesn't really matter, you know, who the head coach is. People want to be around that person. People want, you know, that person is going to be prominent and it's going to be a big face because they're wearing the Tennessee logo or the Auburn logo or whatever. But in USC, I think it's different. And that does matter in terms of trying to max out the potential of a program.
David, last time we saw, you know, there's been multiple times where either USC was either about to come open or, you know, they end up sticking with Clay Helton because they kind of sniffed around of who they could get and they didn't really like the list. Do you think when we see USC make this hire, do you think it's going to be the type of hire where we immediately think, you know, whether or not it's right or wrong, like we saw with Texas, when they hired Tom Herman, everyone went home run, home run, home run,
mm-hmm.
and we realized that wasn't a home run. Is it going to be the type of hire where, you know, mostly, universally, it's praised?
I mean, I think so. You never really know. But I just think they've recruited so well. That job is so attractive. You know, you're inheriting a lot. They're in a pretty good position. You don't have, you know, some of the same NCAA issues looming over it they've had in the past. And I just don't think there's really very many obstacles to them getting a really, really good candidate. So I suspect, yes. My colleague Bruce Feldman wrote about some of the options, and you start looking at those, you know, whether it's Luke Fickell or James Franklin or Mario Cristobal. I mean, those are all pretty big fish that, you know, if I'm in their shoes, I'm looking long and hard at that USC job because it's, you know, one of the unique jobs where the ceiling is just unbelievably high and higher than, what, 95 to 98% of other jobs in college football. So that's attractive for any coach.
Is there any chance, though, that job, maybe to you and me, we think of it as it's got to be one of the five best jobs. Is there any chance, though, I think we're seeing it now with Mike Norvell in Florida State. Like, I think everyone thinks of Florida State, like, you can go there and win a national title, but when you start digging below the surface, you recognize that there are a lot of challenges there, and they're not nearly as close to the Clemsons. And, you know, I'm not really sure at this point in time if USC is as close to Oregon as they believe it to be, other than you're in LA and it's, you know, you can recruit in basically a 15-mile radius. Do you think that that job is diminished at all?
Think so as much. I mean, you know, big picture, some of the Pac-12 consternation, I understand that, but, you know, when you look around their league, and I don't think it's going to take a genius to win the Pac-12, you know, 2 out of 4 years.
Sure.
You know, I just don't think that that's going to be the case. I don't think they're, I think Oregon's in better shape than them right now, but I don't think it would take, you know, you don't need, you know, Vince Lombardi or Nick Saban to make them better than Oregon. I think you could do that with a lot of coaches because of some of the factors that you hit on there. And, you know, there's definitely some challenges to it, and it's not like anybody can do it. But I think the list of coaches who could succeed in a big way and win, you know, multiple conference titles at USC, I think it's pretty long. It's definitely well into the double digits.
All right, David, let's wrap up with two regional SEC schools. First, let's start off with Tennessee. Do you think we've seen the last of Joe Milton, I guess, as the in terms of talking about him as if he's some sort of long-term answer at quarterback? And by long-term, I mean like the rest of the season. Like, how do you see that quarterback situation sorting itself out in Knoxville?
Well, you know, I don't think so. I think – certainly when you look at his tools and his potential, he raises the ceiling of the offense more than anybody else. Not to mention he's got 3 years left to play. Now if he's good, that's probably going to be closer to 2 years, maybe 1 year, but probably two. So that's something to consider, but I that's a good problem to have on the back end. You know, you have to probably give him a little bit more chance. He hasn't been bad enough where you can't give this guy another shot.
Yeah.
Hendon Hooker was a little bit more effective. But I don't think that necessarily is what this offense is built to be and do. And I think Joe Milton is built pretty perfectly for this offense. But, you know, when you got wide open receivers running 3 or 4 yards beyond a defensive back, you got to be able to hit that.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest throw to make, but when you aren't really getting close and you're missing over and over again, that's frustrating for coaches who are scheming guys open and you can't execute. And so I don't think we've seen the last of him. I think honestly, I'd be surprised if he's healthy, if he's not the guy that rolls out there, if he's able to practice enough this week against Tennessee Tech. But I think the same thing is true when they go to Florida in a couple weeks.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like there's going to be a bit of a platoon system, it feels like.
If Tennessee quarterback play in recent memory is any indicator, it's not the last we've seen of Joe Milton.
That's true.
Yeah.
David, all right, we'll wrap it up with this, though. Last but not least, Memphis takes on Mississippi State Saturday at the Liberty Bowl. Big game for the Tigers and a big game for Mississippi State. They're both 2-0. What have you made of Mississippi State so far? They're kind of, for the second year in a row, seem very unleash-like in that they have their defense is stronger than the offense so far. What have you made of Mississippi State's first two games and this matchup with Memphis coming up Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can thank Dan Mullen for some of that. I mean, they recruited so well that they've got some big bodies up front and some really good corners. And you know, I think, too, with this offense in year two, there's so many option routes and there's so much timing and things that come with repetition. It was only going to get better. I think last year they struggled with some of that, but you know, Mississippi State has been a team that, you know, how high is their ceiling under Mike Leach? We'll see. But these are games that they, I think, can win and have really have a good opportunity to win and rack up some W's. And it is interesting seeing this team do that with defense as much as offense, and you know. For as much as the Mike Leach program does have an identity that is, you know, air raid and hating the run and all those things, it's interesting to see a program that I think this Mississippi State team is going to ride its defense for a lot of this year, and that's a credit to them.
David, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, that's David Ubben of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter @DavidUbben.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.